This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of your Arizona Farmers Insurance agents. Look for an accident in the carpool lane, westbound Loop 101. That is just before you arrive at Cave Creek. Traffic is backed all the way up to Tatum. Goodness gracious. Also look for another wreck on the right shoulder, westbound US 60 at McClintock. Are you saving as much as you could? See how your knowledgeable local farmer's agent could save you money. Call Aaron Newtzman at 480-988-6466 today. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. 113 our forecast for tomorrow. And by tomorrow evening, scattered showers and thunderstorms move close to the desert areas with some gusty winds and blowing dust. Over the weekend, more moisture takes the temperature down 109 to 111 with scattered storms. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we are at 112 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
After 30 years, Tough Shed buildings still stand the test of time. Our garden sheds, storage barns, and garages continue to deliver innovation, quality, and value. See our newest feature, LP SilverTech Radiant Barrier Siding and Roofing. Imagine having a Tough Shed building that looks cool from the outside and stays cooler on the inside by reflecting up to 97% of the sun's radiant heat. Check us out at toughshed.com. Get building ideas, locations, even save a free quote. It's all in one place, toughshed.com.
Arizona is working for a better tomorrow, so it's important to get involved. Clean Elections is one great way. Passed by Arizona voters in 1998, Clean Elections opens the door for all Arizonans to run for office and gives voters a voice in the state's political process. So by providing more voices and more choices, Clean Elections empowers us all to help shape Arizona's future. Learn how you can get involved at cleanelections101.com.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Good afternoon, and again, it's Wednesday, about 4:06, and this is Dennis Willinchek on Legalese, and the show that talks about all kinds of issues relating to the law and otherwise. But today, not so much about the law. We're going to be pleased to present to you here our state treasurer. And as you know, those of you who have listened to the show regularly, we have had on the show various state legislators, politicians, and Doug Ducey, who is the state treasurer, was born and raised in Toledo, Ohio, but is, of course, a resident here of Arizona, and this has been his home for some time. And as I understand it, it's where he met his college sweetheart, now his wife of 20 years, and where he raised his three sons. And it's also where Doug built and developed two businesses that created jobs for Arizonans across the state, which uniquely qualified him to become state treasurer. Probably one of the few, perhaps, that had successful businesses that was state treasurer, maybe. Anyway, Doug came to Arizona in 1982 to attend Arizona State, where he graduated with his Bachelor of Science in Finance and worked his way through college, working, as I understand it, at Hensley & Company, the local Anheuser-Busch distributor, and on graduation joined Procter & Gamble and began a career in sales and marketing, where he was trained in management, preparing him for his role as partner and CEO of Cold Stone Creamery. And when he and his business partner sold the company in 2007, Cold Stone had grown from a local shop to more than over 1,400 locations, I believe, in all 50 states and 10 countries. Doug then committed himself to an entrepreneurial pursuit in Scottsdale, where he became a lead investor and chairman of the board for a company called iMemories, and then decided to go into politics, God knows why, and we'll get into that in a second, Doug. But anyway, we're pleased to have Doug here in the studio with us in downtown studios of KFNX. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dennis. Happy to be here.
Pleased, very pleased. And you are an interesting guy, I must say. You've been a successful businessman, and which uniquely qualifies you in the world of politics, I think, to begin with. And then particularly your qualifications are impressive in terms of the voters looking to you as a state treasurer. So what interested you in becoming treasurer? I'm curious.
Well, you know, Dennis, my background in the private sector was one that I enjoyed very much. It was of great value in terms of an education beyond what I learned in school and studying finance. But I think the journey with Cold Stone and to really get involved in an organization and begin the franchising of Cold Stone Creamery, which, you know, it's a lot of fun selling ice cream. And we had built 1,440 stores in all 50 states around the country, and we were open and operating in three countries around the world. It's operating in 16 countries today.
That's an amazing success story.
It was an incredible amount of fun and a great business, and the ice cream business is by definition fun. I'd sold that company in 2007 and really was frustrated with what I saw over the course of the next year in terms of our state government, how broken our budget was, what a mess our finances were. And thought that I would like to get involved. I'd like to give back. I'd like to serve. I've always been interested in what goes on in government, both state and federal. I just never thought at the time that I would be a part of it. So I've enjoyed this journey. I mean, running for office and talking to people, getting all around the state, making the case why somebody from the private sector could add some value and fresh energy down there was a real life experience.
I'll bet it was. Let's talk about that point in particular now, namely the differences between your experience as a successful businessman and then running the state treasury. That had to be a little bit of a shocking experience to some extent, I would have to imagine. So what did you find to be your biggest challenge in terms of that when you got there?
Well, I think there's shocking is probably a good word. Surprising's a good word. And, you know, the very interesting thing is you do have to run for this office. I mean, although this is a very nonpartisan position, I mean, people that are wondering what does the state treasurer do? Well, the state treasurer is the state's responsible banker and chief investment officer. So they really don't collect taxes. State treasurer doesn't collect taxes. Mm-hmm. State treasurer doesn't spend tax dollars. What they do is they invest all the tax dollars that are collected, and they safeguard those tax dollars. So I can make a case that I'm the only one in government that actually makes money on behalf of the taxpayer. Everybody else spends money.
Well, on that point, do you make money for the state?
We do make money for the state. We made $57 million last year in terms of interest income, and in this type of interest rate environment, that's pretty good. I mean, we do a good job. We do an economical job.
Well, if I may interrupt you, where does the state invest its money in these kind of times?
Well, you have to think short term because you have to pay teachers tomorrow. You have to fill potholes. You have to pay police officers. So you want to have
one
money.
Component to do that.
Yes. So liquidity is the financial term, but really means cash available or cash equivalents. And then as the state sells off state land, and we do have state land because we are enabled by Congress as a state, that those proceeds come to the state treasurer's office to invest into perpetuity.
So I thought those go into the education department. Is that wrong?
They come to the state treasurer's office to invest into perpetuity, and then the proceeds go into 87% of them go into K-12 education. So that's
it doesn't happen automatically. You're saying that the state through your office still has to invest that money and then sort of dole it out in spurts.
That's right. There's a formula in terms of how we do distribute those funds. We will have a record distribution to K-12 education of $75 million in this budget year. So we feel good about that, and that's a real positive. But those are some of the roles of the state treasurer. The shocking part of it and the amazing part is you do have to run for the office. You do have to be elected by the people. And it is amazing that they let an elected official be the fiduciary of $10.2 billion because you really don't have to have any qualifications except to be
I was just going to say, what are the qualifications? There really are none.
Well, there are two. You have to be a citizen or a resident of Arizona for 5 years.
But I mean, there's no qualification, in other words, for being a banker or a chief investment officer of a trust company or anything like that as a qualification, right?
There's no financial qualification. And to be a state mine inspector, you do have to have mining experience. But to be state treasurer, you need to be 25 years old and a resident.
Exactly. Much like the president of the United States, I guess, right?
I think that's 35, but I'm not certain.
No, you're right, actually. Again, having talked about your successful business career, so what have you applied, I guess is the best way I can phrase the question, what have you applied in learning about how to build a successful business to running state government or the state treasury?
Well, there certainly is a lot of room for improvement in state government. I mean, government is not a business, and it's not run like a business. A lot of things government does are simply things that can't be done in the private sector or won't be done in the private sector. But there are a lot of things that can be applied from the business sector to state government that can improve it.
Like good judgment?
Well, good judgment's part of it. Common sense, of course, is a part of it. But so is just budgeting. Proper budgeting and budgeting for more than 1 year at a time, having a budget, best case scenario budget and worst case scenario budget, because things change. I mean, rarely, if ever, does a private sector business hit its budget on the penny.
Let me ask this before we take our break shortly. How do you interact, therefore, with either the governor's office and or the legislators in terms of the budgeting process?
Well, I mean, being a newcomer to this, my thought was I wanted to create a strong relationship with both the governor's office and folks at the legislature, both of whom I didn't know before I got involved in this process. And because I was running as treasurer and fiscal sanity and proper fiscal restraint was important to me, I wanted to build good relationships as long as they were going in that same direction. And the good news is there's a strong political wind behind those ideas of being fiscally responsible.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about just that topic as soon as we take these commercial message breaks. We're talking with Doug Ducey, State Treasurer. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, KFNX 1100.
Lars Larson, weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Afraid of high car repair bills? Would a $4,500 engine replacement hurt your savings?
Just a little?
Cover America Auto wants to give you a free quote on peace of mind protection. If your car breaks down, we'll pay the repair shop on covered repairs directly. No waiting for reimbursement. No hassle. If you're driving without coverage or if your warranty is about to expire, call us. You can trust you will be protected. Our claims department has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau with 50 years of dependability.
I just brought my car in, had the transmission replaced, and they paid the bill.
Plus, our direct-to-the-public rates can save you thousands off of what dealers may charge. Call for your free, no-obligation quote now at 800-681-1793, 800-681-1793. 24-hour roadside assistance and rental cars included on most plans. Don't wait. Call for your free quote now, 800-681-1793, 800-681-1793.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, KFNX, 1100 News Talk Radio, and we're here at 602-277-KFNX. That's 277-KFNX, and we're talking with State Treasurer Doug Ducey. Doug, while we were taking a break, I see you looking at your BlackBerry there, and I know you noted that Steve Jobs, apparently this breaking news you were telling me, has just resigned, I guess, from Apple, it said, right?
I just saw the news alert from AZ Central that Steve Jobs has resigned. So
pretty big.
That's big news. You know, I guess for good or bad, the state does own quite a bit of Apple and the Permanent Land Endowment Trust Fund, but I think Apple may go down tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I would suspect it will. I know he's had a lot of health issues, but that's pretty big. Now, speaking of which, let's talk quickly about the market volatility in general and the safety of our, I guess, tax funds. How's it looking right now?
Well, you know, it has been an incredibly interesting and challenging time to be state treasurer. There's an unbelievable amount of volatility in the markets, and that basically means, you know, we're having these 400-day losses and 200-day gains coming back, and there's a lot of...
So that affects the state as well as individuals then?
Well, it doesn't really affect the state day-to-day because we don't sell inside the land trust. I should say we're not day traders. So we don't rely on market timing. We have a broadly diversified portfolio that's invested into perpetuity, and we really take a long-term time horizon. It won't affect us day-to-day. At the same time, you want to get the returns over the long term. So asset allocation, diversification, all that is topical to what we're doing. And there's really nothing that can grow the state's tax coffers and financial situation than a growing economy. And we're certainly not seeing that nationally, as much as our state economy is not as sick as it was several years ago, but it still is. It's kind of coming out of ICU and going to critical condition.
Well, and that's one of the things I want to explore with you, which is, in terms of the treasurer's role, what exactly does the treasurer oversee? You mentioned the state land funds. Does the treasurer also oversee the general fund?
The treasurer will invest the proceeds inside the land fund. So if you had a sales tax transaction this afternoon, those dollars will arrive in the treasurer's office tomorrow. So my job is to make sure those go into the proper account.
That, so it's not just the land fund. It's all funds.
It's all funds. It's all state monies, yes.
Right. Okay.
Operating account and long-term fund.
So do you have a team of financial experts that literally work around the clock at the state, economists or what?
We do have a team of financial experts. We have three portfolio managers and a risk analyst inside the trading room. We do a lot of tours at the treasurer's office.
So you actually do trades in the treasurer's office?
We do trades. Yes, we do do trades. We've got a screen, the same screen they would see at in the marketplace, whether it be the Chicago Mercantile Exchange or down on Wall Street. We see the same screens, get the same news in real time, and we'll make trades, purchases, in bond portfolios.
But you actually act as, in essence, the broker as well as the client. Is that right?
We won't always act as the broker. We will act as the portfolio manager.
Okay. So, I mean, in order to do a trade, you go out to an outside broker?
We will, depending what inventory is available. I mean, in this market, we'll look at different inventory to get the safest, highest quality instrument provides the best yield and maturity.
How long is the term of treasurer?
4 years.
So your term of office will be coming up when?
It will be coming up in 2014.
2014. And does it look like you're going to consider running again for treasurer, or do you have other plans?
Well, you know, I came from the private sector. I imagine someday I'll return to the private sector. I did make a commitment to this office. It's a 4-year term. I'm 8 months in. I want to look at a couple things. One, what kind of job am I doing here? And I think that the job that we're doing inside the office is positive. There's a lot of leading indicators in terms of our cash position that would say that the treasurer's office is doing an excellent job. I don't think that I can take all the credit for this, because you can't be a good treasurer without a responsible legislature and a strong governor who don't spend all the money. But if they do put you in a position where you can have a conservative cash flow plan, you can't properly invest the money and demonstrate a return. So I feel like we are doing a good job. And I think that's just part of this process is to focus on the job that I was elected to 8 months in a four-year term. I'm enjoying this. I think we're doing good things on behalf of the taxpayer. And what I want to do is not only do the job inside the treasurer's office, but do the things that I think can be extended from the treasurer's office, like this idea of financial literacy and what we expect not only of, out of our state government, but really what type of curriculum do we have inside our schools so that kids know how to manage a checkbook. They know how to properly use a credit card. Those are some resources and a platform that state treasurers can use going forward to help the financial situation of a state and the electorate.
Well, which brings up a good point. In the past, the state treasurer's office has not exactly been what I'll call a sexy position in the sense that most people probably don't even know who the state treasurer has been or maybe they still don't know who the state treasurer is as far as you're concerned. So the question I have is, what can you do at the treasurer's office to sort of make the position a little bit more than what it has been in the past?
Well, you know, Dennis, using your words, the state treasurer's office shouldn't be a sexy position. The state treasurer's office should be an office that is incredibly safe,
right,
and safeguards the funds. I think the treasurer's
That's a good point.
The treasurer's office has been something that has gotten more attention rather than less in the last several years, simply because the state's budget has been such a mess, and we ran out of money.
Well, that's what I was asking earlier. What can you do as state treasurer in terms of the budgeting process? I guess that's what we were on before the break.
Well, let me talk about the trend in terms of cash flow and then
okay.
what a treasurer can do about that. You know, in January of 2010, and I think everybody – that's not too terribly long ago, the state was actually negative $940 million in an operating account. So every day I start the day inside the treasurer's office by saying, how much money do we have in the bank? And if any citizen is curious or taxpayer is curious about how much money we have in the bank, they can simply go to the treasurer's public website, aztreasurer.gov, and they'll see a checkbook with how much money is in the bank today. We'll update that every day. They can drill through that number and see where the state is spending money.
So excuse me, but when you came into office, you're saying it was in the negative?
I'm saying in January of 2010, it was in the negative.
Okay.
I came into office in January of 2011.
I see.
We had about $250 million in the bank.
What do we have today?
Well, last month we averaged over $1 billion cash on hand, and we're averaging closer to around $800 million right now. And that's just simply because school's going back in session and payments are being made out. And I think we had over $700 million today.
So the state is not broke, contrary to what some people have said.
The state was broke. The legislature did balance the budget. No tricks, no gimmicks, no borrowing, and no rollovers. That's the first balanced budget since 2007. So I think everyone that's listening, everyone in their family and every small business out there started really tightening their belt about 2008. It took state government about 3.5 years to tighten its belt, but it did
tighten
its belt. And so the state's not broke. At the same time, the state's not out of the danger zone. $700 million cash on hand sounds like a lot of money, even in this new era. But at the same time, we have an $8.3 billion budget as a state. So we don't have enough to pay our bills ongoing if there were some type of disaster or catastrophe. We basically are going to bring in $8.3 billion in this fiscal year, and we're going to spend $8.3 billion. So we will have that balanced budget, but we don't have any rainy day fund to speak of right now, and we've taken on some debt as a state, and we need to begin to pay that down.
So, what are your recommendations as to what the state would be doing if you had plenary authority? What would you be doing as the state treasurer to ensure that the state is not in a problem situation going forward?
Well, I think you want to look at first, I mean, why does state government exist and what is it here to do? And constitutionally, it's two things that state government does. One is educate the children. K-12 education is a constitutional mandate, along with some things around higher education, and then public safety. So I think you want to look at those categories and say, how are we doing with that? And then there are things, of course, the state does do beyond that and is taken on beyond that.
But you're saying that are discretionary in nature, I take it.
Not everything. I mean, the Medicaid component, what we call access here in the state, has not been discretionary.
Right, that's true.
So if you look at it from a simplicity standpoint, I mean, states really, they educate, they medicate, and they incarcerate. that incarceration is the public safety part of it. But, you know, that goes to the quality of life of a state. So I think you want to take a look at that, and then you say, how can we be fiscally responsible in doing this?
Yeah. Well, do you think the state is on the right path right now?
I do think we're on the right path because job one was to balance this budget. And I know a lot of people like to beat up on the legislature out there. And, you know, I hear them at the Little League games or when I pick up the kids at school. But at the same time, our state legislature did in this year, just and all I'm talking about this is this past year, did balance this budget. That's much different than states like California or Illinois. You know, just a few short years ago, people were saying that Arizona's financial situation per capita is the worst financial situation in the country. We had had the biggest boom, we had the biggest growth, and we're going to have the biggest bust. Well, we've managed through this. We're actually spending less than we did in previous years. And if you look at other state legislatures around the country, or if you look at the federal government, they haven't made those types of tough decisions. So I think that's something to be proud of in terms of doing what's job number one. And then what we do going forward is going to require thoughtful leadership.
Well, that sounds encouraging. We're talking with Doug Ducey, the state treasurer, a lot of different issues relating to his office and the budget, and we will continue that discussion and talk about some other interesting issues beyond that with Doug when we return from this break. This is Dennis Wolinchek on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
The Lou Dobbs Show. Returning this country to the American people, 1 hour at a time. Monday through Friday, starting at 5, right here on KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Steve Jobs steps down as CEO of Apple. He alluded to his health problems in his resignation letter. CNN's Dan Simon tells us Chief Operating Officer Tim Cook becomes the new CEO.
In terms of the succession plan, Apple is in great shape, but of course, now the question is, how is Steve Jobs doing health-wise?
Jobs has taken two medical leaves in recent years and has had a liver transplant. By the weekend, the U.S. East Coast could become drenched and windblown. Hurricane Irene is bearing down. Forecasters say the coastline from the Carolinas to New England could be affected. Libyan rebels say they control most of the country, but they're still meeting pockets of pro-Gaddafi resistance. No word on Muammar Gaddafi's whereabouts. It's virtually a daily occurrence, reports of Syrian security forces killing political demonstrators. An opposition group says 7 people were killed today in several locations around the country. Wall Street had another rally today. The Dow closed up 144 points on top of yesterday's more than 300-point rise. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio 2. Southern Arizona cousins have been charged with starting the largest fire in state history. The Wallo Fire is about 95% contained, and Governor Brewer is in the Springerville area today proclaiming the White Mountains are reopened for business. Phoenix police investigating at least 3 incidents involving the attempted abduction of children. All 3 managed to elude capture and reported the incident to their parents. Sergeant Tommy Thompson.
Yes. The children have to walk alone or are going to walk by themselves is to make sure and walk with your children and establish a plan or a route that they can take that includes safety outlets.
The heat wave is putting a strain on local utilities. Could be a record.
The all-time system peak is 7,236 megawatts, which was set on July 21st, 2006. Our forecast today is actually right around that area.
Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the 99-cent only stores. Folks, look for a collision eastbound I-10. That is at 16th Street. We do have a couple accidents on the eastbound U.S. 60. The first one is blocking the Higley exit. The second eastbound U.S. 60 is at Superstition. Looking for the best deals on back-to-school basics? Look no further. 99-cent only stores has backpacks, kids' t-shirts, knee highs, and 3-pack of kids' socks for only 99.99 cents. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, 113 our forecast for tomorrow. And by tomorrow evening, scattered showers and thunderstorms move close to the desert areas with some gusty winds and blowing dust. Over the weekend, more moisture takes the temperature down 109 to 111 with scattered storms. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we are at 112 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Have you heard about Zero Res Carpet Cleaning? Yeah, we kind of have a funny name. You spell it Z-E-R-O-R-E-Z. Just remember, if you spell it backwards, you still get Zero Res. Zero Res stands for zero residue. That means we leave zero soap or chemicals behind when we clean. When you go online, you'll see many other companies trying to duplicate what we say. But remember the name Zero Res, and you will be guaranteed to get the one true company that leaves zero residue behind. No more crunchy feel after your cleaning. No more spots reappearing, and no more scary technicians in your home to worry about. To schedule your appointment, give us a call at 480-507-2419, 480-507-2419, or you can go online to ZeroResPhoenix.com. Mention KFNX Radio when you call and get 3 rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for only $149. Zero Res, spelled backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
This is Dennis Wolinchek, and we're back on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on KFNX News Talk Radio. And we're here this week speaking with our state treasurer, Doug Ducey. And many of you know that Doug was elected about 8 months ago. He had sold a large business, Coldstone Creamery, some time ago, and decided to get into politics. Did you get a psychological exam when you did that, or should we check further into that?
I think a lot of people thought I should get one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can understand, really, you know, when you've been in business, you've been successful in it, there comes a point, I guess, when there's not much of a challenge left, probably the way you develop that business. Whereas the state is a challenge, obviously, every day, right?
The state is a challenge. I mean, being in government is a challenge. And at the same time, I mean, it is very worthy work. I mean, there's a lot of good people that want to do the right thing. And somehow we have gotten off track financially in many ways in government across the country and in Arizona to a certain degree as well. I think the good news here in Arizona is the correction that we've made. And I think if some others would follow our example, we'd be better off. And some of it is just some good leadership. Some tough decision making, and it really isn't. You know, it's much more fun, Dennis, to sell ice cream, and it's certainly fun, I imagine, in state government to say yes to everyone who asks.
Yeah.
But when you do that, you just can't possibly finance.
Well, and that's the problem you've got right now. Obviously, you can't say yes to everyone, and whoever's ox is gored is unhappy. So it's a tough job, and I guess that's why probably politicians do get a bad rap. They're an easy target. Let me ask you about that, though. You know. Your experience now, having been a businessman and now being essentially involved in state government and politics directly, is it unfair that the public generally makes fun of politicians and laughs about them and jokes about them? Maybe it relieves some pain, but seriously though, in your experience now, have you found that, you know, the politicians that you've run into in the legislature as well as other positions that obviously you deal with every day, you said earlier that these are basically well-intentioned people. So why do they get such a bad rep?
Well, I think, one, it's been part of American culture from the beginning to give some grief to people that run for political office and are in elected office. And I think really given the state of the economy and the finances and some of the mistakes that have been done in government, sure, I mean, that's going to be part of the job.
But what's your reaction, having been a businessman, you know, to what you see now in state government in terms of the people versus the people you saw in private enterprise?
Well, I will say to you, and let's take the campaign, for instance. You go all around the state and you talk to people about why you're running and what you want to do. And I really found well over 95% of the people to be very fair and very nice. And I felt very comfortable in these rooms. And I actually think it was a huge benefit to come from the private sector and have had a career before I got into government and running for office. Because I basically told the story of what I had done in the private sector and what I wanted to apply in the public sector. And some people said, well, that wouldn't be possible or that isn't how it works. And I said, well, that's why you run for office, is to get in there and do the best job you can be a leader in a statewide constitutional elective office.
I mean, when you're in business, you obviously, like most of us, complained about people in government, right?
Well, sure. What I didn't want to be is one of these people that just sat on the sidelines and complained. So I don't think that you necessarily have to run for elective office, but there's a lot of things you can do. You can get involved in your legislative district. You can get involved in some of the special interest causes in terms of around, say, government spending.
Yeah, but I mean, have you found it frustrating, is I guess what I'm trying to get to here. Have you found it frustrating having been a businessman and probably complaining about what you saw in government, which is why you were interested in running, and now you're there. Are you frustrated at all, or do you think that maybe I was a little unfair to these people when I was in business looking at them, criticizing them?
Well, I don't know that I was unfair criticizing them, because I do think you're running for public office, so part of it is the public service, and people are going to have their opinion. Some are going to think you're doing a good job, or if you're cutting something that they don't want cut, they're going to think you're doing a terrible job. At the same time, there are frustrations, but I mean, there's plenty of frustrations in the private sector as well. So I think those are just obstacles that need to be overcome. I would like to see our government move a little bit more quickly. I would like to see it become more streamlined and more effective and efficient, things that you see in the best run private companies.
Well, how can you do that?
Well, we have a lot of government right now. I mean, there's an incredible amount of government that tries to do an incredible amount of things.
In private enterprise, a lot easier for you as a CEO to cut fat or inefficiency. In government, you have these expectancies with people working there for years under merit systems and so forth. It's a little harder to just take an axe to things, isn't it?
Well, it is a different process. I mean, that's a real difference between government and the private sector, is that government is all about process and the private sector is all about outcomes. I think if we change that focus in government in terms of what outcomes do we want, and I'll give you an example.
That's a very good point.
I'll give you an example. The majority of the state's budget is spent on education. And the question that you hear at the state capitol very often is, are the classrooms fully funded? Well, what exactly does that mean? I mean, in the private sector, you would ask, can the third graders read? What percentage can, what percentage can't, how do we close that gap?
More specifics.
You would ask what number of high school freshmen go on to graduate and what skills do they have upon graduation? How do we lower the dropout rate? Why would someone drop out? These types of measurements.
A different approach than you're seeing in government.
Well, a different approach than to have every answer be we need to spend more. I mean, really? I mean, that's what we've continued to do over the past several decades. And are we seeing any better outcomes? We're not. If anything, we're seeing that nationally we're slipping in education compared to other industrialized nations. I mean, that's really not that's not the upward path of the United States. I mean, there was a time in our lifetime where someone would have been able to say on radio that the United States education system is the number one K-12 system in the world. And it's so far ahead. Number one, we're not certain who number two is. You couldn't say that today. We're not number one.
Well, how do we turn this around then? I mean, I was at lunch today. Somebody was railing on about how things, an older gentleman, about how things have just radically changed in this country.
you know, from the time he grew up, where kids would come home, there'd be cookies baked and, you know, so forth. Today, kids come home to usually homes that are 50% divorce rate, parents that are working all the time. I mean, it's a different world than maybe when I grew up. How do we turn this thing around?
Well, it certainly is a different world. And as a married father of three myself, I mean, my kids are certainly growing up in a lot different world than the one I grew up in. But I'm certain my parents felt the same way before me, and my grandparents felt the same way about my parents. I mean, that change is the one true constant. And that's why I come back to, much like we do in the private sector, talking about what the outcome is. What are the results? I mean, a lot of this change is wonderful. I mean, you mentioned I was looking at my my phone before this started. I mean, this BlackBerry has more computing power than the Department of Defense did, you know, on the day I was born.
Yeah.
And I see my oldest is a freshman in high school right now. You know, this access to the computer and using Google for research makes school fun and makes this idea of intellectual competence something that is really highly achievable for more people. So I think there's a lot of benefit to the change that's happened. I do think we've left some things behind, and we need to go back and fix them. There's time to do that. Part of that is folks that are in elective office, but it's also people in their neighborhoods and their communities and their place of work. And it's something that people.
I think that's a very good point, by the way. I think people rely too much on government solving their problems, and I think we all have to just chip in somewhere and solve it on a daily basis in our own lives instead of blaming folks like you for everything.
Well, I hope that they wouldn't blame folks like me, but I do think that people when things are good, you know, most people think that things are then going in the right direction. And when things are bad, they do like to blame the government. You know, that doesn't really, in a sense, that reminds me a little bit of the private sector, because at Cold Stone Creamery, we dealt with a franchise community. So you really can't dictate to a franchise community. You got to talk to them about what's the better idea and why we're going to do the better idea and why it's better for the wider community. But when things were going good and sales are rising, you know, everyone feels real good about their store operations. And when things are bad, if sales are slipping, then everybody blames the chief executive.
Well, that's right. Let me really get to this quickly before our break. What do you think of the administration in Washington right now? Do they get it or do they not get it?
Well, I don't think they get it. I mean, look at the way that the debt continues to grow in the country. Look at the way politics are being played and no good policy is being forwarded. We don't even have a budget that's been approved in several years. It's really disappointing what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. There's a real lack of leadership, and it's a shame, because we're talking about significant dollars and significant consequences, not only for everybody listening, but for all their kids as well.
Yeah, it seems like there's not a game plan there. Well, we're talking to Doug Ducey, state treasurer, having an interesting conversation about a lot of different things, and we'll continue that when we come back from these commercial messages. This is Dennis Wolinchek on KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100.
John McCaffrey, host of Conservatives Lead, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Decision makers, news breakers, and everything right. No liberals allowed. Brought to you by the Conservative Leadership Coalition. Conservatives Lead, every Tuesday at 7 p.m.
I wanted to get her something that was a symbol for what she is. Strength and fragility. Dimensional and bright. Taken together, it's an inexpressible expression. At least I thought it was inexpressible. Until I found what I was looking for at London Gold, a diamond. It's clear, but not transparent. It attracts light, yet reflects and refracts it, as though producing its very own. A diamond has many sides, and yet it's organic. One whole thing.
He's got the ads going, but
it was perfect. The quality was unlike I'd seen anywhere else. And I got the best price because London Gold buys directly from the source without the middleman markups. When I gave her the earrings, her eyes reflected their sparkle and fire. Next time, it'll be a ring.
London Gold. It's the best.
I'll never forget
that moment.
As long as I live.
My
my first call-up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going up to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
He's the voice of choice. Lou Dobbs leads the independent nation. Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Wolinchek on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And we are here with Doug Ducey, who is the state treasurer and has been in office for 8 months, was a successful businessman. And we're talking before the break about, you know, basically the issues in Washington right now, the lack of leadership that Doug has addressed, and the problems that we're facing as a country. And we're talking, like all of us are, around the dinner table and everywhere else, about how we turn this thing around. How do we change the focus of this country from when I grew up? It was a greatest country in the world without doubt. And now, as I've said on the air before, you travel around and this country just doesn't have the same authority and the same respect, basically, that it once had. And financially, we're in a state of chaos. The markets are, who knows what to do with that. And people are afraid every day. You know, they're losing their homes. This is serious stuff here. And I don't know the answers to it all, but I do know that we need some leadership to try to figure it out, Doug. And obviously guys like you who leave the private sector and for all the right reasons enter into public service, obviously you don't need the money, and that's the best motivation. But then there have been other people who've done that, obviously, who've been disappointing. The part that gets to me quite candidly is people that are broke when they go into office and then leave rich, which is always disconcerting.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, the president is one of those people. He had nothing, literally, when he went into office, and now he's a multi-millionaire. Bill Clinton left office with, what, hundreds of millions of dollars. So there's something wrong there, okay, when people are using the office to benefit themselves. And that's what I think the public sees. Now, your situation, as state treasurer, you know, it sounds like you're doing this for all the right reasons. And the question is, how do you convince people of that? So the only way you convince them that I saw growing up, like John F. Kennedy didn't take a salary, as an example. And I remember as a kid thinking about that and hearing about that and going, gee, that guy must be doing something for the right reason, right?
Well, I think you look at leaders like John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan, which I think I can still say is someone from my youth, and they seem to present such a positive message and have the ability to not only inspire people but bring people together and move the country forward. And I do think, in a sense, we've been here before. We've seen this show before. It might be a different cast of characters. It might be a bit more severe, but if you think in terms of the late 70s, I mean, think of the things that did happen, the truly unfortunate things to John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy, and then what Richard Nixon did inside the White House with Watergate. So this hasn't been a Democrat thing or a Republican thing. There have been good leaders, and there have been leaders that have, you know, been much less than that. So I do think that there's a pathway out of this. There's no substitute for leadership and someone that can communicate a vision, someone that can pick the right people and then get the intended results. And the problems that this country has right now are really incredibly solvable problems. I mean, and I know those folks over in Europe that you were talking about, Dennis, they like to make fun of us, but they've done that for years. At the same time, we have
world. They're not doing so great now themselves, obviously.
They're not doing very well. And our economy, for as much as we can beat it up, it still is the largest economy in the world, three times bigger than anyone else's economy. It's the most innovative and inventive economy. And we just talked earlier about a guy like Steve Jobs, who is retired, who is very much to our generation what a Thomas Edison was in the early days of the country. I mean, how many more Steve Jobs are out there? And the people that are in school today and that have all this access to technology and the entrepreneurial spirit, those are the things we really need to unleash and let the economy flourish, let parents be responsible for their teachers, make certain that for their children, make sure that the teachers inside the schools are the high quality teachers that so many of them are, but the ones that aren't need to find something else to do. So these things I think are incredibly fixable. We just need action. We need to quit sitting on the sidelines and complaining about it. And I do think there's a real spirit right now. We're seeing it at the state level. And, you know, people really get on Washington, D.C., and I'm with them on that. I mean, I think a lot of people are grossed out by what's going on in politics. But I don't think that the political infighting is necessarily bad if we're fighting about ideas. What is the better idea to move the economy forward? These are things we should have a discussion about. You know, they didn't have any discussion about the state of the euro over in Europe. They all agreed on it with an appointed commission, and look where they are. I mean, that system is absolutely failing. Our system, while it does have its fair share of challenges, if we get our economy going again, we slow down our spending and start to pay down our debt, our problems will be behind us from a financial standpoint. We're just not doing that at this time.
Is that the single biggest challenge you think we have is just that point, balancing the budget, reducing the debt? Is that the biggest issue right now financially for their country?
Well, I think because it is such a topical issue, I mean, government spending is on everyone's mind. And if you think back, I mean, when in the past have we ever talked about government spending? I mean, I don't recall. You might be upset that, hey, somebody's spending money on this or that, but it wasn't the drumbeat of the day. I think the fact that we're talking about it today, usually when something is that topical, it's something that's about to be solved. It's something that's about to...
I mean, the government's always borrowed money. That's been the history of our country for a long time. That's nothing new, right?
Well, the government's always borrowed money to a certain degree to finance day-to-day operations, but we've never had the amount of debt and deficit that's on the books. And I think a lot of times politicians use the words debt and deficit to confuse. What we really need to focus on is spending. Okay, what causes debt, and you can think of this in your own household. If you have too much debt in your house, it's because you've spent too much money. And if you have to borrow money from your parents every month to make the mortgage payment, well, that's the deficit part of it. And I saw some numbers, and these won't be exactly accurate, but that you know, if you took our financial situation and drilled it down to each individual, you'd have, if you made $32,000 a year with this economy, you'd be spending $60,000 a year, and you'd have a credit card debt of over $300,000 a year. I mean, that's insane. And for what? What do we expect from government? What do we want government to do? What do we want it to do well? It's doing a lot of things that I think.
Yeah, I mean, the problem always is, of course, that it sounds great, but the problem is when you actually deal with the specifics of the spending that you're talking about, like we've had on state legislators on the show talking about this. You know, again, going back to something we said earlier, whose ox is being gored? So, you know, you have all these special interest groups and lobbyists making a case for why everybody else should be cut except them, right? I think it comes down, and tell me your opinion on this, to like what you said earlier, some basic fundamentals of what government does and what it's in business to do. As you said, education, you mentioned.
Well, education, medication, and public safety at the statewide level. And if you look on the federal level, I mean, we do want our federal government to protect us. I mean, I think the men and women in uniform, we know that that's a proper function of government is to defend the country. But I think all these other things need to be discussed.
Well, let's just talk about that with the time we have left. Given your unique role as state treasurer, and we are talking to Doug Ducey, who is the state treasurer of Arizona, what do you think in that regard realistically should be cut or could be cut to get us to a balanced budget, to reduce the debt, and to solve the problem that you said over a long term here?
Well, I think the real opportunity, Dennis, at the federal level is that there's much you can reform, which is this idea of improving the systems. But when you look at things like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, Representative Paul Ryan put together a plan that would protect everyone who is you know, dependent on Medicare or Social Security today. Anyone 55 years and older would be untouched by reforms. But he reached out further so that people that are younger would have to have some changes in terms of their plan, but those programs would all still be there. They would all still be available. And rather than, you know, some leadership and some pragmatism in Washington, it was all politics.
Yeah.
It was all politics, and they tried to demonize a very good good congressman who tried to present a really complex idea, had done a lot of work on it, and really understands the budget. But those are the types of reforms that are possible, and those really get us, you know, I think an analogy is we're in a car driving 80 miles an hour towards a cliff. Okay, and what we've just done is we've slowed the car down from 80 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour, and we're on cruise control. We're still headed for that cliff, but that cliff is a few years away. So what we want this Congress to do is we want them to slow that car down, stop it, and turn around in the other direction. So we can reform the spending.
In 2 minutes or less, because that's all we've got, unfortunately, before we have to leave, tell me what you think specifically should be done on a state and federal level to immediately try to slow that car down in terms of spending and cutting out of the budget.
Well, the first thing, and I think there's a number of choices here, and this isn't really a partisan as much as it is fiscally responsible. I mean, making good financial decisions is not about being a Republican or a Democrat. It's about, do you want the economy to go up or do you want it to go down? And I would like it to go up. So you can pick the Paul Ryan plan. You can talk about cut, cap, and balance. You can talk about the portions of the Bull Simpson's reforms. There's a lot of good ideas out there, but you need to look at where the numbers are. You need to do the math and do things that will free the economy, let some entrepreneurial activity to happen, and do the financially responsible thing going forward. I talk about a lot of this on my Facebook page, so if people want to go to
Give
Doug
us your
Ducey
address before we have to go.
If they go to Doug Ducey on Facebook, they can get some more texture on what's going on in the national scene, and they can always go to the Treasurer's website, aztreasurer.gov, to see the state's cash balance and where the state's spending money.
All right. Thanks, Doug Ducey, State Treasurer. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. Till next week, we're waiting on the Lou Dobbs Show, and we'll have some commercial messages. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'm Elizabeth Hasselbeck. If you're like me, you probably don't have a lot of free time to exercise and keep yourself in shape. For me, the answer is the Ab Glider from ProForm. I can't tell you how much I love this amazing machine. It's a great fat-burning cardio workout, too, and it's fun.
Unlike other ab machines, the Ab Glider combines circular and crunch motions for a fast, fun workout of your entire midsection. You engage more muscles, get a better cardio workout, and burn twice the calories of other ab machines.
I went from an 11 to a size 4. 20 inches total. It's really easy and it's fun.
With this offer, you'll get an onboard workout computer, Elizabeth's 3-minute rapid results DVD, and her amazing abs instructional DVD, plus her amazing abs eating guide, a $159 value, free. Try the Ab Glider now for 30 days, risk-free, for as little as $14.95.
Call 800-609-4098. 800-609-4098. Try the Ab Glider risk-free. Call now. 800-609-4098.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m., KFNX News Talk.